Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, April 9th. I'm Alan Chartok. Good news. But before I do, support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, bringing interventional radiology, immunotherapy, and robot-assisted surgery to cancer care for the greater Saratoga community. SaratogaHospital.org for more information. The good news is joining us this afternoon to respond to your podiatric questions is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. People love this guy. They always want to ask him questions. Dr. Tooman is popular. We always get plenty of calls. Call now, 1-800-348-2551. I said 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Tooman, your calls all coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio this afternoon to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Douglas Tooman, our friend of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in the Kingston area for more than 30 years. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He's also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner. Dr. Tooman, Doug, welcome back to Vox Pop.
Great to be here, Alan. Thanks for having me.
To participate in today's discussion, and by the way, every phone is going to be loaded, call 1-800-348-2551. Write it down, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, you can also check in with your questions and comments at facebook.com/WMC Radio, tweet us at WMC Vox Pop, or email voxpop@wamc.org. Hey, Doug, Roselle, my wonderful wife, got me into every 6 months or so going in and getting a pedicure. And, you know, because she doesn't like getting stuck in the middle of the night with my foot. Is getting a pedicure a good idea?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
And when would the no be?
Sometimes people have foot challenges and sometimes it happens on occasion where they overstep and you get a little ingrowing toenail or you get a little cut. If you're diabetic, it's not a good idea. People with poor circulation, it's nice. And if you have good feet and you want a little treat, it's actually wonderful. For those that have circulation issues and ingrowing toenails, you got to be a little careful. I see a lot of infections sometimes afterwards, and people come in and they say they just were a little overzealous in taking out that toenail.
Oh, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Okay, let's go to Jim in Matamoros for a change. Jim, you're on.
Digits 2 to 5 develop ingrown toenails, or is it predominantly the big toe?
Hey, Jim. Nice to hear from you. Predominantly the big toe. The big toe, as Seinfeld said, is the king of the tribe, so to speak, and because it's bigger and gets much more force on it, and the nail has a larger toenail, it grows into the corners more frequently. So I would say 4 out of 5, maybe even 9 out of 10 nails that we see that are ingrown are from the great toe, the hallux. And then we have the others. The fifth toe, on occasion, mostly the follows down the line, second, third, or fourth toes can get ingrowing toenails. So yeah, any toe can get it if you cut it wrong or if it gets injured. But the big toe is by far the leader of the pack.
And what's the big danger from an ingrowing toenail?
Infection.
Infection.
Yeah, they become infected. See, the skin around the toenail is full of bacteria from your toenail. So if it creates an ingrowing area, sometimes that nail will pierce the skin very slightly. And sometimes what happens, bacteria from around the area will infiltrate and create an infection. Yeah. And then you get an infected ingrowing toenail, which is called a paronychia.
A paronychia.
Yeah,
that's a good word. Good afternoon, doctors. My son has a stress fracture. This came in by email. On the top of the foot. Incident happened a month ago. And it is improving. Has worn the hard boot he was given for it. Do you think if he wears it, he'll ever get better? I think he has accidentally hit it against something a few times and set him back. Also, do you think acupuncture might help him with the healing or osteopathy?
Good question. Let me explain what a stress fracture is. Stress fracture is a hairline fracture, Alan, of the usually the metatarsals, usually the second, third, or fourth metatarsals. It's the way I describe it sometimes. You ever get a little chip in your windshield?
Sure.
It doesn't affect the windshield at all, but you get that little crack there. And then sometimes that little crack expands. When you get a stress fracture, it's usually from overuse. It could be from injury as well. We see it a lot in walkers, runners. You get into the season where it's now springtime. People have been hibernating inside all winter. They go out and they overdo it, and all of a sudden the top of their foot swells. We take an x-ray. It doesn't always show up because it's so small. Usually it takes about 2 weeks for a stress fracture to show up on x-ray. When it shows up, it's because you can actually see the healing. But as soon as somebody comes in, because I deal with a lot of runners, being a marathoner, we have a high index of suspicion. If the top of your foot hurts and it's swollen sore, you should get it looked at immediately. So as far as the healing goes, with the healing of a stress fracture, it usually takes anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks to heal. And that doesn't mean all the pain and swelling is going to be done, but the body recognizes the fracture and it sends little cement to the area to make it more secure. So with any stress fracture, what you want to do is respect the foot, listen to how it is telling you about the pain. The hard boot, sometimes we'll put somebody in a hard boot and a soft cast for somewhere between 2 to 3 weeks. And then we usually go into a hard shoe, a running shoe, something that doesn't bend a lot. But in general, you just got to listen to how it feels, the swelling, and it may need another x-ray just to make sure it's healing okay.
1-800-348-2551. I guarantee you, if you call right now, you're going to be in. 1-800-348-2551. Now, I'm watching television in the middle of the night sometime, or very early when I get up, 2 or 3 in the morning, and there's something, some guy comes on and starts talking about how to cure fungus on your big toes. Now, I get that occasionally.
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, fungus is prevalent, and it's everywhere. And unfortunately, with our feet, our shoes are in socks for most of us, or nylons. They're in shoes. The shoes are often pointy or tight, and it gets hot down there. So what happens is it's an environment where fungus can proliferate.
Right.
People have moist feet, wet feet, sweaty feet. You can injure a toe. So if you start to see a toenail, especially for women, after the women get pedicures and they leave the polish on for a while, or you get an injury, you start to see a discoloration. It can be yellow, gray, white, and that's a proliferation of fungus in the area of the toenail. So what do we do about that? Well, there's lots of things. First of all, you want to make sure that you start with an antifungal. There's two different types. There's prescription and over-the-counter remedies. And then in our office, we'll do prescription antifungals topically. There are oral medications that we use. Then we have a wonderful laser that treats fungus toenails as well. They all have their pros and cons. Oral medication has side effects. Topical medications don't work that well. And the laser is great, but it's not covered by insurance. So they all have really great effects on
now,
it.
Now, some of them have, Doug, some of them have quite expensive price tags on them, some of these antifungal medications.
They do. Some of the newer ones that are called Keridin or Jublia.
Yeah, Jublia.
Go to the pharmacy. It can be $300-$500. It's ridiculous. It's totally overpriced, but they have a market. And until the generic versions come out, which they're not, they have that ability to charge that much money. Sometimes it's worth it, and they give coupons to make it more affordable. But there are some other medications you can use. Nothing is wonderful. There is no cure for fungus, but that's 100%. But these cures between topicals, orals, and laser therapy, we get many better. Probably the ones who respond the least are the seniors, because it's beyond. Sometimes the root of the nail becomes so damaged, it can't grow normal nail again, just like a gray hair on the head. Can't produce normal black hair again or red hair, that sometimes the toenail gets damaged. But in many cases, when somebody comes in, we'll actually take a clipping of the nail, we'll send it into the pharmacist, to the laboratory, and we'll make sure that it's fungus. We'll get the exact type of fungus and try to get the best medication to cure it. And we have about 60-70% cure rate.
Huh. Okay, let's go very quickly to Cassandra in Great Barrington. All right, Cassandra, you're on.
Hi, I was calling because I also am a marathon runner, and I'm only 33 years old, but I have a bunion on my right foot with my big toe, and it causes me a significant amount of pain. And I didn't know if you had any advice. I generally wear a minimalist shoe when I run.
So,
any advice?
Cassandra, first of all, congratulations on being a marathon runner. Running is a great thing to do for your health. So here's the thing. You have to get shoes that are really wide. I'll give you a brand name that I run in that I love that really fit bunions well. And the brand name is Altra, A-L-T-R-A. You can find it at ultrarunning.com or some of the better running shoe stores. They really are better aligned with the shape of a normal woman's foot or a men's foot for that matter as well. And they do help bunions. Another trick, which, and I think the Ultra will probably work for you, is you may want to get it looked at just to make sure there's no nerve irritation over the bunion. Sometimes we'll do some things to stop a bunion from being irritated by the nerve. Sometimes it could be a little arthritis. So I would go to a podiatrist and have it x-rayed. Sometimes we use orthotics, take pressure off the area. And then in addition, there are topical medications. But one thing you can do if you have a sneaker you don't mind making a little snip in it with a, not with your foot in it, of course, but with a little razor blade or a scissor, just make a little teeny snip over where the bunion is so that it's not a hole, but it might give you a little breathing room.
Thank you, Cassandra. Okay, we're going to have to take a break right now. But in the meantime, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. When we come back, we'll talk to Mike and Dan and some other people.
Support comes from the bariatric program at Adirondack Health, Saranac Lake. Offering weight loss surgery and lifestyle education, better health, better lives, adirondackhealth.org. New York Oncology Hematology welcoming WAMC listeners to its fifth annual Spring to Life Conference, Saturday, May 19th, open to cancer survivors, their families, and caregivers. NewYorkOncology.com for registration. Villa Veritas Foundation, Kerhonkson, New York, an inpatient rehabilitation and wellness center, providing healing focusing on the body, mind, and spirit for those with various forms of addictions. VillaVeritas.org for inquiries. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, providing commercial casework, custom display solutions, and interactive exhibits for special events, permanent museum installations, and trade shows nationwide. EmpireExhibits.com. And from the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting their Earth Day event with volunteer conservation projects for children, adults, and community groups, Saturday, April 21st from 9 to noon, albanypinebush.org.
And we are back, thanks to Zachary, our wonderful guy in the control. Let's go to Mike in Cheryl. Okay, Mike, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, doctor. I've got some pain in the middle toe of one of my feet, and I've been told that it's probably a Morton's neuroma. Mm-hmm. And they said to pick up some metatarsal arch supports, which I've done. But I wonder if in addition to that, there aren't some exercises or stretches that I can do to help alleviate that pain and get the arch back.
And are you an exerciser, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What do you do for exercise?
I spend a lot of time at the gym, elliptical, treadmill, bicycle.
Okay.
And a bunch of weightlifting and stretching.
All right, so let me just explain first what a neuroma is, should you have one. It is a pinched nerve in the ball of the foot, usually between the third and fourth metatarsals, and those nerves extend into the toes, which is why the toe can hurt. Normally, a nerve is a thin, you know, glowing, glistening piece of nerve fiber that, when it gets abnormal, becomes like a little thick piece of gentle chewing gum that's like Trident or something chewed up in there. It becomes thick and fibrous. We don't know which stage it's in. Early stages will respond to anything from inserts, wider shoes, then moving on to corticosteroid injections. And we do a lot of custom orthotics in the office. You can get over-the-counter ones and see how that works. Exercises, you can practice picking up things and making sure your toes are nice and strong, marbles, pencils, towels, to make sure those muscles by the toes are great and strong. And other than that, you have to just make sure your shoes are wide enough and change them frequently. Really wide shoes do make a difference, that don't push your toes together. And maybe get it checked out by a podiatrist again, just to make sure that there's nothing better they can make you to put inside your exercise shoes.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, we're going to go now to Dan in Johnstown. Dan in Johnstown, your turn. Hi,
hello.
Dan.
Hello.
Yep, we're here.
Yes. You know how in the structure of a foot, at the base of the big toe is kind of the biggest basal support of all the toes.
Mm-hmm.
That basal support sticks way out in my right foot and is more tastefully included in my left foot without much of a problem. But in the right foot, it's as if while I was being birthed, perhaps, somehow the wall of the birth canal pushed that right foot into all the other, that right toe into all the others, and then it stayed that way.
Have you had this since you were a child, Dan?
I think so.
How old are you now?
62.
62, okay. That was a while ago, that birthing episode. So tell me about, is there pain involved with it or just the way it looks?
It's not just the way it looks. It's not pain either, though. It's just, it's difficult to have a two-footed stance that holds evenly erect. I may explain why I walk in an unbalanced way.
It could very well be because the feet are not symmetrical with one foot being off like that. It sounds like you either have a bunion or arthritic change around the great toe joint. Recommendation is that you do go see a foot specialist, a podiatrist, have it looked at, have it x-rayed, see what's going on. Usually those things are not from the birth, and the birth canal usually develop from hereditary predisposition, a longer limb, you know, injury, things like that. But I would definitely get an x-ray.
There can be a predisposition.
Yeah,
predisposition. Also an injury.
Yep, often there is, or hereditary issues. I would absolutely, Dan, get it x-rayed. Let's take a look and see what's going on in there and see if it's something that needs to be fixed or so abnormal that it's it shouldn't stay, or if you can live with it. You know, that's another option, too.
I get it.
Thank you. Okay, that was Dan. Now let's go to Lori in Clifton Park. Okay, Lori, you're on.
Hello?
Hey, Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I have a question. Apparently, I have flat arches or flat feet. I didn't know this until maybe about 10 years ago. Somehow, I missed that memo. And I have recurring plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
I think the two are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right about that?
Yes. Often flat feet and plantar fasciitis go together. But on the other end, high arch feet and plantar fasciitis can be a challenge, too. Matter of fact, anybody can get plantar fasciitis. We see it frequently on people with flat feet, Lori, so
and
it's not uncommon. Well, first of all, you might not have missed the memo. First, your arches might have dropped over time, so you might have had adequate arches in the past. But as we go through life, our gravity, you know, in the world always wins. It never loses. And that pushing down on you and wearing certain shoes, you can definitely get flattened lowered arches. You can get weakened tendons. You know, you've got 33 joints in the foot, 26 different bones. You've got tons of muscles. And sometimes imbalances happen that make the feet flatter. Plantar fasciitis is an inflammation of the plantar on the bottom structures of the foot, the arch ligament and the surrounding structures that support the arch. And if you have flat feet, they tend to get a little more sore. And we use a lot of orthotics. For that, we have, depending upon the inflammatory condition of it, orthotics are a great long-term treatment. If it's inflamed, we'll do anti-inflammatories. We have a wonderful new treatment called radial pulse therapy. It's a form of shockwave therapy for those that are really hurting. It's a non-invasive, non-corticosteroid method of healing plantar fasciitis. But shoes make a difference, and orthotics make a difference. So if you sound very young, it may be something you want to definitely see a podiatrist about so that you don't have chronic plantar fasciitis anymore. You can beat it. You don't have to have it forever.
Thank you, Laurie. Okay, now we're going to go to Jim in Niskayuna. Okay, Jim in Niskayuna, you're on.
Hi, guys. I have had plantar fasciitis myself for, I think it's about 9 years now. I never saw a podiatrist about it. I just kept pushing it off. And now my feet have kind of flattened out as well. Mm-hmm. And where my big toe, the base of my foot on both feet, is incredibly painful now. Mm-hmm. And I can't really move my big toe mm-hmm. up and down or have any shoe that has any applied pressure there at all mm-hmm. Without extreme pain. It eases up kind of as the day goes on.
Yeah.
Almost like shin splints would as you kind of get moving.
Sure.
That pain eases up enough that I haven't called a podiatrist. But at this point, it seems like something's really wrong. And I went and got arches from one of those, I don't know if I should name it, but they have commercials all the time.
Sure.
Went there, spent $1,000 on them, and I don't know if the pain now is something that, if this was done correctly, because it wasn't from a doctor.
Okay, so the question is...
So let me explain what you got going on there, Jim.
What is this?
Yeah. So you have something that's developed into arthritis in your great toe joints, it sounds like, and you should definitely go to a podiatrist and get it x-rayed. It's when this big toe joint stops being able to move normally. You need about 65 degrees of motion when you're going forward. You probably have maybe 10 to 20 at best, what it sounds like, and that's painful. Yep, and that's because the joint has become, it's no different than a knee, where you're getting bone-on-bone contact and developing wear and tear on that joint. It's called hallux rigidus, and the hallux is the Latin term for big toe. So absolutely need somebody to look at it. You may need some corrective procedures because you sound young and likely want to be active, and that pain is not going to go away. Yes, we'll do corticosteroid injections. Yes, we'll do custom orthotics. And ultimately, if it doesn't resolve, then you may need some surgical intervention to make you better, and it's 100% can be fixed. So best of luck, Jim.
Well, that's great news.
Yep.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Jim.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, now we're going to go, of all places, to Mary in Gardner, New York. Okay, Mary, your turn.
Thanks so much for taking my call. A question about fungus. I have had fungus on my toenails, mm-hmm. and I used tea tree oil to treat it, and it seemed to have gone away.
Mm-hmm.
So do you recommend, some of these herbal remedies, I guess you would call them? Also, I wondered about oregano oil. So if you could please...
Yes, actually, it's interesting. Somebody from Gardner is calling about herbal remedies. So, Mary, yes, herbal remedies can work. I do like oregano oil better than tea tree oil as these non-prescription type remedies. They have things in them that are antifungal, and that's why the oregano oil will work. Even, the Vicks has the same remedy in the same ingredient in it that the oregano oil has. But it only works on some of the toenails some of the time. If the nail is very thick, it's very disfigured, it won't work. If you catch it early, it's a great way to treat it. But you have to be consistent. You have to have a little luck, and you have to do it daily, and you can get better.
Okay. And just another quick question. Mm-hmm. I also suffer from bunions,
mm-hmm.
but when I say suffer, there's no pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I consider myself lucky. But over time, if it does become painful, what is the statistic regarding, if you do get an operation to fix the bunions in terms of nerve damage? Do you have that off the top of your head? What, percentage of people who do get that operation?
Well, I can tell you what the percentage. Well, first of all, in life, it's better to be lucky than good sometimes. So congratulations on not having painful bunions. But in general, the percentage should be zero on nerve damage associated with the bunion surgery, because the nerve is easily protected and should never be damaged by a good surgeon doing a bunion. So you should be looking at a zero nerve damage percentage. What it is in the real world, if you have surgeons that aren't doing a good job, it could be a very low number, but I don't see it frequently. Even when I see reconstructive bunions, it's mostly that the bunion recurred from a poor surgical event, but I don't see a lot of nerve damage in most cases, thankfully, these days.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, we'll go to Anne in Valencia. All right, Anne in Valencia, your turn.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I also have a bunion question.
It's bunion day.
Very similar to the
W-A-N-C.
Yes, bunion day. I have bunions on both feet, and truthfully, I think they're ugly, but they don't, again, I'm lucky too, they don't really pain me very much. And I kind of like to have them taken care of because it makes it very difficult to, you know, get shoes that are comfortable and attractive. Mm-hmm. And I've read that that surgery can go badly, and I understand from the lady you just spoke with that it shouldn't go badly if it's done correctly. But is there any advancement in the surgery? Because from what I understand, they grind down the bone and put a screw in your foot. Is that still the method of choice, the only method for dealing with them?
Let me go over a couple of things, bunion procedures, bunionectomies in the old days. I'm, you know, 61 now, but when my grandparents would have bunionectomies, they'd go in the hospital, and what they would do is they'd stay for a week, like many other surgeries. They'd remove the joint, and what they would do also, and when it advanced, quote advanced, they would not take the joint, but they would take the bump off. Neither of those are correct procedures. They're both minimally done these days. What a bunion is, first of all, when we go back to what a bunion is and what a bunion isn't, it's not a growth of bone. A bunion is actually a bone that starts to move from position A to position B, which is going away from the other toes. So the big toe joint starts to get a protrusion where it goes one way. And then with the law of physics, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, your great toe goes the other way. And as it grows bigger, the space between the two metatarsals becomes wider between them, and you have a bigger bunion. Now, that bone is not bigger. It shouldn't be ground off ever. So what you do need to do to fix a bunion correctly, in our practice, we call our surgeons bunionologists, because we take the time, effort, and care to correct them so it's a one and done, never should return. You shouldn't get nerve damage, and it should be a very great cosmetic result. But you do have to move it over, and with that, you make what's called an osteotomy, or a cut in the bone. There's probably 20 different bunionectomy procedures we choose from, but the standard one would be an Austin bunionectomy, most commonly done, where you move it over. You put two tiny little screws in next to the bone. You never see them or feel them. You can get through airports, and the results should be fabulous. So lots of advancement, but just make sure you go to people that do these regularly, and I'll just give a plug at HVFA. It's one of the things that we do and pride ourselves on for many years. We've been doing bunionectomies for over 30 years, and thankfully we're doing their children and their grandchildren when necessary.
Thank you, Ann. Okay. Okay, thanks. Now I'm going to read you a whole bunch of emails real quickly, and you're going to come back to me real quickly, right? Okay. Thomas wants to know, wondering how common it is to have size 10 EEEEEE, and it says wife feet, but I bet he means wide feet, right?
Eek. He's got the eek feet.
I wear 6E wide shoes, and anything narrower just doesn't fit.
Yeah, you have wide feet, and unfortunately, it's your hereditary predisposition. You've got to go into stores where they have the wide width. Maybe the shoebox would work best. But in general, yes, it's nothing you did wrong. You just need wide shoes, and they do make them. You got to find them.
Okay, and Jen says, my mother and I have both required surgeries fixing ingrown toenails that we seem to be especially prone to. My 19-month-old son seems to have the same problem. His pediatrician recommended we take him to a podiatrist.
Podiatrist.
No, that's not what it says. It says P-E-D-I-A-T-R-I-S-T. So I thought there might have been something.
Pediatrician? I don't know.
A podiatrist, interesting. Without him currently having a problem, what would the use be in seeing a specialist ahead of time? And that's from Jen.
Well, nothing. If somebody came to my office and they didn't have any pain, I would probably do nothing. When they start to hurt, we fix them. And just a quick note, we do so many ingrowing toenails. It's one of the best, simplest procedures you can ever do instead of battling in your bathroom and trying to pull them out every month. Mm. It's a one and done. You do it once. We cauterize the root so it never grows back into the corner. It's very easy to do. It's under local anesthesia. The numbing is easy. Taking out the ingrown toenails is easy. And you never get it again. That's the beauty. Easy to do.
Okay. Let's see. Did we hang up? Hello? All right. Anthony says, the doctor touched on ingrown toenail. What is his recommendation or suggestion for someone to clip it, clean it, other to is it? other two is it. It says here, I swear to you. Thank you from Anthony from Cooperstown.
Well, if you're going to do it at home, just make sure you don't have pain. You clip it across. We generally tell people to go straight across. If you have to go to the corner, do it carefully. But bottom line is, it's such an easy thing to fix. See a podiatrist who can fix it permanently for you.
I am a runner, dear doctor. With problematic feet, Morton's aroma, we've talked about that. Plantar fasciitis, we've talked about that. That flares up sometimes with hypermobility. I have custom orthotics that my podiatrist made me, but I do run about 3 times a week outdoors year round. Mm-hmm. How long do custom orthotics last? Thanks, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. Well, custom orthotics last depending upon the person, just like shoes. I'll tell my patients, change your shoes about every 6 months, 400 to 500 miles for the running sneakers. Mm-hmm. As far as the orthotics go, I usually try to get 2 years out of them, but I will check them annually based on weight, activity, amount of mileage. I have all the patients come back within a year to check them to see
what
if they're
still
good.
What do you look for?
The deformity in the shell, if it's been pushed over, if it's been flattened down a little bit. And usually we get about 2 years out of them, sometimes longer, depending on activity level.
Okay, we're going to take a very short break, and then we'll be back to talk to Kathleen and Bryce and Evan and Don and Norman and read mail from people like Carol. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Bassett Healthcare Network, providing orthopedic care for hip, knee, and other joint pain. Information at feelbetterwithbassett.com. Adelphi University's Hudson Valley Center offering Master of Social Work degree options with flexible schedules at the open house Thursday, April 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. in Poughkeepsie, adelphi.edu/Hudson Valley. Gear Village Senior Community presenting a lecture opioid epidemic professional panel discussion on Thursday, April 19th at 6 p.m. A light dinner is offered, 860-824-2625 for more information. Vision Excel Eye Care Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames. Where eyewear is an art, visionexceleyecare.com. And from Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com.
Okay, and we're back. Doug, I want to go, Douglas Tubin, I want to go quickly now. I have a couple more emails that I just want to get through them. I had my endometrial cancer treated with chemotherapy and radiation in 2016. I still have what feels like significant neuropathy in my feet, though I haven't had anyone test it quantity to quantify the level. The neuropathy is always extremely uncomfortable, occasionally painful, it's affecting my proprioception of and the stability of my walking. I've tried gabapentin, Actel, L-carnitine, and other things. Carol, what should she do? Do I have any further suggestions on how to improve the neuropathy, or am I just stuck with it?
Unfortunately, it's a challenge. 2016, you do have maybe a year and a half, 2-3 years to get better. But after that, you may have chronic neuropathy. There are nutritional supplements that we will prescribe that are loaded with different nutrients, especially the vitamin B, alpha lipoic acid, things like that. One particular we use is METANX, prescription-based Metanex, can help. And then after that, it's right now, nothing great. Gabapentin is a treatment for that. If that doesn't work, then sometimes topical medications we prescribe and hard to handle. It's one of the challenges from chemotherapy.
Catherine from Niskayuna says, I broke my right big toe 2.5 years ago. From the x-rays, it shows we have been broken at least once before. It is not healed correctly. It's still very painful. The top bone is protruding, and it hurts most of my shoes that I wear. I was wondering what surgery would be like to correct it and how long the recovery would be.
Was that by the great toe joint, Alan? Is that the big toe?
I broke my right big toe.
Big toe joint. You probably developed what's called post-traumatic arthritis in the joint, creating some arthritis. Definitely surgical correction. It depends upon if there's a spur that can be removed. That's the simplest. Other times you have to do some joint work to repair the damaged joint, whether it's a fusion or an implant. But definitely fixable. You don't have to live in pain.
Is there anything that can be done, says Ann, to help with peripheral neuropathy caused by chemotherapy?
That's the same question we had. Right. And the answer is nutritional supplements. There are some treatments being worked on, and gabapentin, it's neural medication to settle the nerve endings down. A lot of nutritional supplements and healthy living.
And Alex, who loves the show, says, I've always had athlete's foot in one foot, not the other. Is there a reason for this? Also, it tends to be more apparent in the summer. Is there a simple remedy to this?
Not a simple remedy because it's coming back every year, but there are antifungals that are prescription that you can get from your doctor, podiatrist, whoever, that you can put on regularly to minimize the prevalence of the fungal elements on the foot. But not a cure necessarily, but a help.
Now on to Norman in Germantown. Norman, your turn. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Doctor, I have this persistent cramp in my toes. Actually, it's in my right foot. It started out as a cramp in my calf some months ago, and then that would wake me up always at night, and I would basically, it would really hurt, and eventually it would go away. But then it went down to my toes. Again, it's on my right toes, the three middle toes. It happens pretty much every night. Most of the time, I've tried any number of things as far as tonic water. I've tried tea pills. I also use this leg cramp ointment, which helps a lot as far as alleviating the pain. So I'm asking, maybe you have an idea of what's going on.
Norman, are you diabetic by chance?
No, I'm not.
A smoker in your past or no?
No.
Okay. Great. So the first thing that comes to mind is you always want to make sure your circulation is good, because people who have cramps can have poor circulation. It doesn't sound like it, but you need to make sure that you don't have peripheral vascular disease as the cause of your cramping. If you rule that out, then it's just a matter of trying many different things, from making sure you're hydrated, making sure you have no deficits of nutrients such as vitamin D, magnesium, calcium, making sure that you stretch regularly, and you have to make sure that you are not overly tight. How old are you now, Norman?
76.
The first thing I would do is I would get your circulation checked just to make sure you don't have PVD, and then we can work on some of these other issues. Okay?
Thank you, Norman. Okay. I'll give you the number, but, you know, I don't know that you're going to get in, but I'll try. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go now to Kathleen in the Berkshires. Okay, Kathleen, you're on.
Hi, yes, thank you. And I may have missed this because I missed part of the show. Is pain right in the ball of my foot? Do you know what might be causing that?
How old are you now, Kathleen, may I ask?
72.
Is it on both feet? Is it when you're barefoot in shoes or both?
Always,
okay. Well, lots of times what happens, we go through life, we lose the padding on the bottom of the feet. That could be one thing. It's atrophy of the fat padding. Your metatarsals drop, so you could be walking on bones down there. You can have nerve endings that are sensitive. Really should get looked at by a podiatrist, so you don't have to be in pain, because it's hard. You got at least 28 more good years to go, and you don't want to have painful feet. So,
thank you, Kathleen. All right, and now let's go to Bryce in Dalton. Bryce in Dalton, your turn.
Yes. Hey, how are you? So my question is, I had an accident, and they removed 9 out of the 11 calf muscles. I no longer have control of my toes, and they're starting to curl. I had the great toe and the one right next to it fuse.
Yep.
The second toe is starting to curl again.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is there anything that's going to happen with the continuation of my toes curling? Is this something that I need to get addressed sooner than later, or?
How old are you, Bryce, now?
I'm 33.
You're young. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So one
of
the things, if you've lost your calf muscles, the questions would be, have they rehabilitated? Do you have strength anymore? Are they totally weak? Can you lift your foot up and down? And, you know, or is it not able to lift all the way?
That's, that's all I'm able to do is lift it. So I have one half of the calf muscle, so I can point it down, and I have one of the muscles in the front of the calf, which allows me to lift the foot up kind of at a weird angle. Right. But besides that, I have no control.
Yeah. Sounds like you need to be evaluated for what's called an AFO, an ankle foot orthosis. It's a brace that will help you walk better.
I have one. Yes, and I do, and I have one of those. My question is with the toes. Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything that I'm going to experience with the toes continuing to curl?
Yes, it could bother you as you go because it'll continue to curl over time since you're so young. So sometimes what we'll do is we'll do tendon releases called flexor tenotomies. Sometimes we'll fuse more toes so they stay straight. So you'll need to have that looked into.
Okay, thank you, Bryce. Now let's go to Evan in Newburg. All right, Evan in Newburg, you're on.
Hey, how are you guys? First, just want to say I'm 25 years old. I listen to the show every day, and more young people need to be listening.
True.
Second, my question is, I have somewhat wide feet, and for the past few years, because I'm in the labor field of work, the corner by my pinky toe, it grows a callus, and it's just such an excruciating pain sometimes. It debilitates me from being able to work. I'm wondering, is that a bone spur or is that the callus growing too heavily or what is that?
Good question, Evan. We need to get you back to work because you're too young to be at home with pain. Yeah, it's both usually. There's usually a small bone spur. There's three bones in that little toe and one of them gets irritated and starts to grow a little calcium deposit and then you get a callus over it. Believe it or not, those little tiny calluses and bone spurs can be excruciatingly painful. So please get to somebody that can help you. We do have an office in Newburgh. HVFA.com.
Is that a surgery or?
It's a small little in-office surgery in most cases. You just buzz it down and take a little bone spur off like you're doing a little, you know, tooth polishing, so to speak.
Thank you, Evan. All right, let's go to, we'll go to Don in Kingston. All right, Don in Kingston, your turn. Go. Hey, Don.
Yes, thank you. Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. I have fungal infection in both big toes and some elsewhere on my toes. What I've been doing is aggressively cutting the nails off with nail clippers and then grinding the excess material away.
Yep.
I'm over 80, and I've had this for a while, and I was thinking of just continuing this procedure. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, nothing wrong with it at all. As long as you don't cause yourself pain or bleeding or infections by doing it, it's perfectly fine. It's nice to talk to a Kingston neighbor. So if you need more help, we're right there.
Thanks, Don. All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Carlo in Hudson. All right, Carlo, you're on.
Hi. My name's Carlo. I'm in Western Mass, actually. I have a question for the doc.
Go right ahead.
I get cracks in the calluses of my heels. I've worked in food service, and now I'm in healthcare. I'm on my feet pretty regularly, and I get these cracks in my heels, and they're quite painful. Is there anything that I can do to keep that from happening?
Yeah, those cracks are really painful. Carlo, and they're called fissures or cracks. And if you ever get a paper cut in your finger, multiply that times, 10 as far as width and length, it becomes really a nuisance. So, yeah, you want to trim and file them down. Maybe a podiatrist can help you with that. And then there are special creams that can minimize the development. But it is a chronic issue and challenging.
Okay.
So, Alan, I'll just throw something out for those that may get in. They can always visit our website and ask questions on our website. And we're happy to answer them if they don't get in there today. So.
Okay. Anything I can do shoe-wise?
Shoe-wise, not necessarily. It's a lot of cream, a lot of, debriding or trimming them down and staying on top of it.
Okay. Thank you, Carlo. All right. Now we're going to go to Todd in Williamstown. All right, Todd in Williamstown, you're on.
Okay, thanks. Hi, my son has pain in his lower legs and feet. They've said it's nerve impingement of extensor digitorum longus, I believe.
Okay.
They've put a boot on him, immobilized it, and he walks around with that. He's had PT. They've talked about doing surgery and grinding down the bone to make more room for the nerve. Is there anything else you'd recommend?
How old is your son?
He's 10.
I don't know that I'd recommend any surgery at this point. I mean, it sounds like an interesting case, and it sounds like you need maybe a second, you know, a third opinion before you have surgery on a 10-year-old to grind down the bone. I'm not familiar with his case. I really would tell you that it's unusual, and you want to make sure that you're getting good opinions. You probably have one, but if it was my son, I would be wanting to see what conservative things I can do to ease the entrapment if that is the cause. No great answers. Yeah. You just need to really get a good look at. No great answers over the radio on that one.
Thank you, Todd. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We're running out of time here. Running out of time. And now we'll go to Mary in Albany. All right, Mary in Albany, you're on.
Hi, thank you. I heard a number of callers asking about neuropathy in their feet after chemo. And I just wanted to share a friend who had a profound neuropathy, and she actually got great improvement from acupuncture. Mm-hmm. She said it helped with temperature issues, numbness, balance, and everything. So for those folks who feel like they've exhausted the options, that may be something to check out.
Thanks,
right,
Mary.
Thanks, Mary. All right. Now we're going to go to, let's see here, Richard in Cohoes. All right, Richard, you're on.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Yep.
Go right ahead, Richard.
Oh, yes, doctor, I've got a question for you. This is going to be a real odd one. to make it summary, my feet have grown in size from 10.5 to 12
okay.
in 1 year.
Okay.
Now, my hematologist has diagnosed me as having hemochromatosis.
Okay, yep.
And she's indicated that my pituitary gland may have been affected to make my feet suddenly grow drastically.
How old are you now?
61.
61.
Any comments?
Well, first of all, it's not unusual for feet to grow and change size during life, so it could be coincidence. Hemochromatosis. Your growth plates are closed, so they wouldn't grow necessarily like they did in Tony Robbins' case when he became, you know, giant size from things like that. So just fit the shoes to your feet; they should stop growing. You're 61, so you should be okay at a size 12. Very interesting.
Yeah, I own 30 pairs of shoes that now have to go out, and I have to go out and buy all new shoes. And it's like, it's a shocking experience. I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's unusual for sure. So I would say just fit your feet. They're going to stop growing. You're probably stuck at 12 now.
Thank you, Richard. All right, let's go down to Barbara in Warwick. All right, Barbara in Warwick, your turn.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to thank the doctor for being a foot doctor. I had two pinky, because, you know, in the career thing, you know, we look down on a lot of people, but a foot doctor saved my life when I was 34 years old. I had two severe bone spurs on both of my pinkies. It turned out that I wear a size 9.5 quadruple E foot, and that's the reason I got bone spurs. But I had laser surgery, and the doctor was extremely amazing, and I had no pain afterwards, and I had a wonderful career pushing wheelchairs for another 40 years. So
thanks
thank
for the call, Barbara.
Much,
I'm just following in footsteps of others that came before.
Thanks, Barbara. All right, now we're going to go to Renee in Camel Hall. Mm-mm good. Renee, you're on.
Thank you, Alan. Doctor, I just have a quick question. Is there an old-fashioned way and a new-fashioned way to get fitted for orthotics? I asked that question because I went to my podiatrist. He fits me when I lay down, and he puts plaster of Paris cloths on my feet.
Yep.
I then took that to my insurance company wouldn't pay for an orthotic from that doctor. I had to go to an outside orthotic and prosthetic company. They had me stand up into a foam bed.
Mm-hmm.
The orthotics I got from the foam bed were awful. I couldn't walk in them.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go back to my podiatrist
right.
and get the orthotics that he had mm-hmm. made for me. So what is that story about?
Renee, good question, and I only have a half a minute here to answer it. Most podiatrists do not do standing weight-bearing casts because you're allowing the foot to become deformed, and we want to make it casted in a non-deformed position. So whether it's a fiberglass cast, a suspension cast, we don't do full weight-bearing casts. Not that it can't make a good one, but that's unfortunate. Insurance companies get in the way, but that's how we do it in most of our cases.
Thank you, Renee. All right, we are really out of time here. I'm going to try to get one more in here.
Just invite people, if you didn't get your questions answered, if you can go to our website, hvfa.com, that's hvfa.com. You can ask questions and we'll get to you and get your questions answered in the coming days. Feel free.
Okay. Let's see here. We'll go, and this will have to be the last one, to Jennifer. And Jennifer, if you can't ask it in one sentence, we can't answer it. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I'm just calling to see if you have any information about the Cartiva procedure that is out there now and if you have a good success rate.
Well, we don't do a lot of implants. We do more fusions, but implants are good. It's another way to help the great toe joint from arthritic pain. So certainly it's a good implant, and if somebody's doing a lot of them, that's what you want. We happen to do more fusions and implants in our office. We find them better long-term correction. But best of luck, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer.
We've got to go.
And by the way, I want to thank Jeff, who's in a car, and Claire in Kingston. We're not going to be able to get to your calls. We are so sorry. We're out of time. Thanks to Doug Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for joining us today. Support for Medical Monday comes from WMC Heart and Vascular Institute. With new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center, Health Network, WMCHealth.org. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy, Joe Makowitz for answering the phones, our producers, Jim Lavoulis, I'm Alan Shartok. And Ray Graff helped out a whole hell of a lot today. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now for a news update.